Hello friends, I'm your host Chris Thrall. I'm a former Royal Marines Commando. I've adventured, for better and sometimes worse, across 80 countries on all 7 continents. Welcome to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast.
Bart Subrell, how are you doing, sir?
Pretty good, Chris. How about yourself?
Yes, phenomenal. It's a bit early here in the UK, but I'm not going to complain. And it's a bit cold, but hey ho.
Yeah, leave the complaining to the Americans. We're better at it.
Yes. So, Bart, we chatted before about your book Moon Man. I've been a long time follower of yours, going back to the videos you did. What was it? A funny thing happened on the way to the moon. And what was the other one? Astronauts doing funny things.
Astronauts gone wild.
And it was, and we've got some more information, haven't we? We're going to come on to about the quote unquote moon fraud. And there's been a new confession that's come out. It's quite a brave thing to organize a whole media interview with a kind of American heroes, because that's, again, quote unquote, how the public sees these individuals. And it's just quite brave, Bart, of you to kind of set that up, knowing that at some point in that interview, when you challenge them on the fact that you don't believe they've been to the moon, they could turn around and punch you. And one of them, I seem to remember, was it Buzz Aldrin did. Where did you get the courage to do that?
Well, actually, right now, I have many appointments for people who want to punch me. The earliest I can work you in is, I think, 2027. And I'm just booked up every day. People wanting to punch me. I grew up thinking that the moon missions were real, like everybody else. In fact, Chris, the number one reason I hear why they must be real from people is that the government wouldn't lie about such an important thing. Therefore, it must be real. And, you know, when there's no independent press coverage, like, you know, if World War II is going on, you have hundreds of millions of eyewitnesses, if not billions. This is something in outer space, and the only pictures are coming from a government agency that claims they're on the moon. And how can we know if they are or not? And there's a presumption that they are telling the truth and that we want to believe it. We want to believe America is great and science is great and we can put a man on the moon when we try. Hurrah. So I was predisposed to believing that like everybody else. And I considered myself to be the biggest moon fan there was. I don't know how many people out there had pictures of Apollo 11 on their wall for a decade or more, seeing them over 3,650 times every day for 10 years, assuming they were real, and had a special place of honor in my home on the wall to commemorate what I thought was one of the greatest events in history. It certainly is a profound moment in history, whether they went or not. And to tell you the truth, more profound if they did not go and lied about it. So I first met a gentleman when I was a reporter at NBC News who worked for the space program during the Apollo. He had very high security clearance. And he said that he read a memo from Von Braun, the rocket designer, to the Pentagon, warning them not to attempt a deadline for putting a man on the moon by the end of the 60s, like Kennedy misspoke and said. In fact, NASA has never kept a schedule ever in their entire history, except the most complicated untried mission of all time. To put a telescope into Earth orbit with 2 decades better technology than Apollo, they were 10 years behind schedule. And with 5 decades better technology, they said in 2014, they would have people orbiting the moon in 2018. Well, that's 4 years later. It didn't happen. Add another 4 years, meaning they're 100% behind schedule. They only have mannequins orbiting the moon somehow, you see. So this gentleman who I met as I was a filmmaker suggested I make a movie about whether they went to the moon or not. And I originally turned down the project because the more I looked into it, the more suspicious the moon landings appeared to be, with weird behavior of the administration and the astronauts. And as a filmmaker, my job is to make fake scenes look real. And you can really prove that the moon missions are fake with a single photograph. I could hit share screen and show it to you, or you can go to Sabrell.com, my last name, S as in Sam, I, B as in boy, R-E-L, Sabrell.com, and click on the top left buttons that say Moon Man Video Links. And link one shows you a picture that they claim is taken on the moon where the shadows from two objects 5 feet apart intersect at 90 degrees. Now, I also show a photograph in real sunlight where shadows of objects 5 feet apart will always run parallel. It's scientifically impossible for shadows to intersect at 90 degrees in sunlight. It just can't happen. The sun is 93 million miles away and 1 million times bigger than the Earth, so it's going to cast shadows in the same direction over an entire continent or moon. And of course, the moon is 20 times brighter than a desert at noon on Earth. So they don't need any lights whatsoever. They have more than enough lighting. So when shadows are parallel in sunlight, but they intersect at 90 degrees and pictures they claim are on the moon as a filmmaker, I mean, that's 100% proof that the picture was taken with electrical light that is so close. If you stand on the left of the light goes in one direction. If you stand to the right, it goes in a different direction. So you can prove the moon landings are fake with just one picture. So I originally turned down the project for fear it could be true and that if I start overturning these rocks, it might be hazardous to my health. About 5 years go by and I changed my mind. I realized that if they did indeed fake it, that is more profound of an event than if they had actually gone. I mean, if the two possibilities exist, either they went or they completed this fraud, scientific fraud, a historic fraud, murdered people to keep it a secret, that's more profound than if they had actually gone. When I realized that, realized I'm going to die anyway, realized that there is right and wrong competing for one another in the world, that it was worth risking my life to expose. And I was put in touch with the millionaire who builds rockets for NASA, who knows that the moon missions are fake, and thought it was his patriotic duty to give me $1 million to make these films to expose it. Well, I started producing A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, which you can see for free at Sabrell.com, with the theory that it might be true that they faked it. Well, 3.5 years into the 7-year project, I pop in a videotape that someone gave me at NASA, and it says at the beginning, do not show to the public. And it's an entire hour of a special effects shot dated 2 days into the flight of them using a 1-foot model of the Earth to pretend they're looking back at the Earth from outer space, some distance away, halfway to the moon, when in fact the astronauts never left Earth orbit. And what a surprise. 50 years later, they still cannot leave Earth orbit. That's why there's mannequins orbiting the moon today, right? And so when I popped in this tape, Chris, I mean, I just freaked out. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're faking being halfway to the moon, which means they can't go halfway, which means they didn't go. And I just frantically call up my source at NASA. Hey, they didn't go. They didn't go. They really didn't go. And he said, well, Bart, I told you. Like, no, you don't understand. They really didn't go. And he's like, well, Bart, I told you. It was hard for me to accept, and I wanted concrete proof, and I got it. And we know for sure that they did not go to the moon. So I produced A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon to prove that point. And 4 out of 5 people who see it, who previously thought the moon missions were real, reverse their opinion, an 80% conversion rate. And then a few years later, I come up with the idea of why not just track down the astronauts and put a Bible in front of them and ask them to swear to God whether they walked on the moon or not. Those who believed in God did not, and the atheists did. Pretty cut and dry right there. And during the course of which I get punched by Buzz Aldrin, I get threatened to be punched by another astronaut, kicked from behind by another astronaut, and we, in the process of that little altercation, left a wireless microphone inside the astronaut's house and forgot to turn off the camera while it's in the backseat of the rental car in the guy's driveway, recording the private conversations of him and his son in his home as they discuss whether or not to call the CIA to have me assassinated, which would not be necessary if they really went to the moon and I'm some silly person who thinks otherwise. So that's why the book is called Moon Man, The True Story of a Filmmaker on the CIA Hit List. And so disclosed in this book are things I never talked about before, including at one point being literally kidnapped and drugged by the CIA a few days after I found this classified footage of fake photography from the first mission to the moon as I was on the doorsteps of CNN.
30 feet, 2.5 down, fake shadow.
Stand by for 30.
Four forward, drifting to the right a little.
30 seconds.
30 seconds. Forward, contact light. Okay, engine stop. APA at a descent. Mode control both auto. Descent engine command override off. Engine arm off. Port 13 is in.
We've had shut down.
We copy you down, Eagle.
Okay, everybody, T1, stand by for T1.
Tranquility Base here. The Eagle has landed.
Roger, Tranquility. We copy you on the ground. You got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. We're breathing again. Thanks a lot.
And I was kidnapped and drugged. I escaped. I peed in a cup to prove that I had been drugged by this truth serum because they interrogated me with a list of questions. And I thought when I, you know, got back to Nashville and peed in a cup, I said, hey, I got him. I'm going to prove that I was drugged by the CIA with some drug only they would have. I give it to a friend to put in a lab in his name, not mine. A few days later, the friend gets back with me and says, well, there was a problem at the lab. And I'm like, oh, what problem? And they're like, well, they had a break-in over the weekend. And I'm like, yeah, what of it? He says, well, funny thing, the only thing stolen was your urine sample. So really freaked out the people at the lab, as you can imagine. They're like, we don't know who you are, but please take your business elsewhere. So all this to say, I figured I really want to be a filmmaker making feature films of an inspirational nature. I really don't like producing documentaries. They're fun to watch, but tedious to produce. So I thought, let me just write a book about the behind the scenes adventures and some stuff I was asked not to put in my film by some of the relatives of the astronauts who they told me, not my opinion, that some Apollo astronauts were murdered by the CIA for not cooperating. And that's not my opinion. That's the opinion of dead Apollo astronauts' widows and sons who told me so and asked me to not yet disclose it in my film, but I'm now able to put that in my book. So as I'm editing my book, Chris, and thank you for letting me ramble on, good coffee break for you, I get in touch with a gentleman who was actually at the military base where they filmed the first moon landing. Now, I already knew they were fake and had multiple proofs that they were fake. But when you hear from somebody who said, and I was there, and I stood beside President Johnson while they filmed it at such and such military base, and here's the CIA code name, and here's a list of 15 VIP visitors. The list was given to him by President Johnson of who this security guard was allowed to enter and view the filming of the fake moon landing June 1st, 2nd, and 3rd of 1968. When you hear that, it's like sends another chill down your spine. And we publish this list of 15 eyewitnesses who were there. The name of the base, the CIA code name, all this is disclosed in my new book, Moon Man, The True Story of a Filmmaker on the CIA Hit List, which you can get in audio. I read it myself, or Kindle or print. It's at Sabrell.com. It's an interactive book with 16 video links. So I basically write a chapter and then say, hey, look, if you want to understand what I'm about to talk about, then watch this video, video link one, video link two, and so forth. Some of these links, we have NASA astronauts admitting that the technology necessary to survive a trip to the moon and back has yet to be invented. They say so out of their own mouth. So how did they go to the moon exactly on the first try with 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone? Well, they didn't. They blocked. Otherwise, for the first time in world history, technology is greater in the past than in the future, because today, with 5 decades better technology, the farthest that NASA can send an astronaut into space is 1,000th the distance to the moon. So how could they go 1,000 times farther 50 years ago with 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone, when today they can only travel 1,000th the distance to the moon? And you can't have greater technology in the past than in the future, which means the claim in the past is fraudulent. That's what it means. Shadows intersecting, classified footage uncovered, and a deathbed testimony from an eyewitness who was there when they filmed the faking of it. What more proof do you need? And if there wasn't an emotional attachment to the glorious patriotic moon landings, people would see the unfortunate truth, which is it's not a theory. They faked it. It's an absolute fact. And until the truth comes out and is admitted by the federal government, there's no hope for our country ever having integrity or honesty again from the federal government.
The public don't understand. Have you seen the series Strange Angel?
No, I have not.
Oh, yeah, I think you'd enjoy it. The public don't understand that the whole reason that NASA was formed was because we couldn't go to the moon. It was there was a scientist out there in the California desert called Jack Parsons, and he got his buddies together. He was a bit of a renegade. He used to like steal chemicals from the university there. Is that UCLA or am I it's difficult for an English person to look. University of California, is it UCLA? Anyway, yeah. Mm-hmm. He kind of got a gig there as not so much a fake lecturer, but he didn't have any qualifications, but he loved rocketry. What him and his team realized is that you can't get a rocket into space. For the friends at home, we're not talking about getting a rocket into orbit, which is the Earth's atmosphere. We're talking about getting it into that void that no one really knows what it is because nobody's been there. And they could get their rockets so high, and then, of course, they just crash back down to Earth. So what Jack did is he started getting into something called Thelema, which was a cultic religion started by a chap called Aleister Crowley, who was also known as the Beast. Little clue there as to his the nature of his character, can we say? And it was a sex cult and a drug cult. So they believed they could do magic, spelt with a CK on the end, which is that means occult magic, and possibly find the way to make their dream work. Right. So he founded something called, I think it was JPR Systems, which was something like the joint JPR. I can't remember, but it was quite clever. He named his company in a way that was also his initials, Jack Parsons, JP, but it was like joint propulsion.
You're probably referring to JPL, Jet Propulsion Laboratory.
Yes, yes, you've,
Parsons Laboratory.
You've got it. You've got it. Yeah. JPL, that was it. And that's the story of NASA. So the whole of NASA was founded because we can't go to the moon, not because we can. But it's crazy, Bart, the cognitive dissonance. I speak to really educated people, you know, clever people. And this one, they cannot see it. They cannot see it. They don't have the ability to hold two opposing thoughts in their mind.
Then they're not really intelligent. That's the difference between intelligence and artificial intelligence. And the difference is pretty much the same. An alleged intelligent person like you're talking about, who cannot accept new facts, is actually not intelligent. What they're good at is memorizing. So you go to university, which is universal thinking, right? I was asked by the student body of the University of Pennsylvania, Pittsburgh, to show my film and to lecture on the moon landing fraud. The university forbid it. They outlawed it. You only teach what we teach and nothing else. I talked to my doctor. I asked my doctor, what do you know about natural medicine? She said, quote, all I know is what I am taught in university, which is to prescribe this pill for this illness. Mm-hmm. And of course, the universities are funded by pharmaceutical companies, the richest companies on earth. So what this person has done is they have memorized a series of information and then they regurgitate them to pass their test. And their, quote, intelligence is in a narrow field of being able to recitate memorization. But can they think critically out of that narrow bandwidth? No, they cannot. I met an elder of my own church. He's a medical doctor and a lawyer simultaneously. And I was introduced as the man who says we don't go to the moon. And he immediately folded his arms and goes, I already know we went. And for this blah, blah, blah reason. And when I point out that those reasons are not reasons at all, when I'm 1.5 sentences in, he interrupts me. And I said, wait a minute, you have to have an open mind. Oh, I have an open mind. And I'm like, well, then if you do, why do you interrupt me every time I prove your point wrong? You see? What I warned one of the pastors is that it's dangerous to have such an elder contributing to the leadership of the church. The pastor said, no. He knows all of the church doctrine accurately. And I said, well, wait a minute. What you're saying is that he can memorize something and repeat it. And I said, that's not anywhere as important as being teachable. Mm-hmm. The Bible says that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Well, what is pride? Pride is simply the unwillingness to be wrong. And humility is the willingness to be wrong. I talked to a university professor of an aerospace department at a major university. And I showed him all of these proofs. I mean, faking being halfway to the moon on camera. And shadows intersecting at 90 degrees that can't be duplicated in sunlight. And a deathbed testimony. He says, there's nothing I could say that would ever make him recant the glorious scientific pinnacle accomplishment of putting men on the moon. What if you saw Neil Armstrong on national TV tearfully confessing he did not walk on the moon? It was shot at the Air Force Base. Bart says so in his book, and he's very sorry. Please forgive him. The college professor said this, Chris. He said, I still think he walked on the moon anyway. So this guy, who was probably 10 years old at the time, watching it on television, thinks he knows better than the man who was there. And he's teaching a major university when he should be in a mental hospital, you see? And so these people who, you know, rant and rave online that the moon missions must be real and don't listen to all of this condemning proof, they're, quote, intelligent within a very narrow bandwidth of being able to regurgitate facts. And what happens is when someone gets a doctorate, they think they're an expert. And anything outside of their narrow bandwidth has to be wrong because it contradicts what they were taught in the universal think-alike institution, right? Mm-hmm. So they're actually not intelligent. They're able to memorize a certain list of facts and regurgitate them in order to pass an exam that tests you on your memorization of the facts that you're told to memorize, right? My doctor in charge of my health says they know nothing about garlic, nothing about turmeric, nothing about any natural remedy whatsoever. All they know after 8 years of medical school is for this illness to give this pill, for this illness to give this pill. That's what they memorize. That's the checklist. They're doing the exact opposite of critical thinking in charge of someone's health that will either save them from death or push them toward death accidentally. Do you realize if you get rid of heart disease and cancer, the number one cause of death statistically and not refuted is medical malpractice? Now, virtually everything the federal government says is a lie. And the politicians boast every time they run for election, we have the best health care in the world, right? Now, remember, they lie about everything. 70% of Americans are taking prescription medicine. So that means 70% of Americans are sick. Is there any country in the entire world that has 70% of its population ill all of the time? Whatever country that is has the worst health care in the world. You see that? The facts are right in front of you. If 70% of the population is on medicine all the time, then 70% of the population is sick all the time, which means that's the worst health care of any country in the world. And yet they say the exact opposite to the people they're hypnotizing. Just remember, every newspaper, every TV station, every magazine, every radio said men were on the moon when in fact they were in New Mexico a year earlier on videotape. Every newspaper and TV station was wrong. I called up NBC News, where I used to work, and I said, hey, guys, you reported that one hospital in this particular city has 450 infected employees in one hospital. You would think there'd be tape around the thing, and it would be quarantined, and no one would be allowed to enter or leave, you know? But people are going in and out all the time. Like, really? And I said, don't you want to interview? I mean, you got 450 people going in and out of the doors 24 hours a day. What about sending a crew down there, putting a microphone in front of, you know, the entrance door and say, hey, what is it like? What is it like to have this illness? I said, did you do that? Did you interview one of the 450 people you talked about? They said, no, we just repeat the numbers the government tells us. Well, someone who was in command center during the launch to the moon, right, on July 16th, 1969, said afterwards he could tell no difference whatsoever between a simulation and an actual flight. He says it looks identical on the screen, just a bunch of numbers going by, right? Yeah. So it was actually easier to fake than people realized. And when it dawned on me that they did indeed fake the moon landing, when you're in the right, it gives you a great amount of courage. And then when you realize this has some spiritual connotations. I mean, the greatest accomplishment of mankind is putting a man on the moon, right? And that's why the film, which you can see for free at Sabrell.com, A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon, opens up with the scripture, pride comes before a fall. They said about the Titanic, the largest ship, the largest machine ever built by the hand of man, they said it was the ship that God himself could not sink. Look what happened. And then Tricky Dick Nixon, when he knew they were not on the moon, said putting a man on the moon is the greatest event since creation. Unbelievable. And so when I popped in that tape, Chris, and it dawned on me that my source at NASA was telling the truth, they really did fake the moon landing, I just wept quietly. I'm like, how sad is this? Sad for my country, sad for the world. This is the world that we live in. We have juveniles running our government who are too immature to admit the fact that they set a goal that they couldn't accomplish. And then they murdered people to keep it a secret. And they used our tax dollars. The second to last chapter of my book is called NASA's Greatest Fear, which is that the moon landing fraud will come out, because if they had faked it and killed nobody, that would be one thing. And you might even appreciate their cleverness, but they murder people to keep it a secret. It's not my opinion. It's the opinion of dead Apollo astronauts, widows and sons who I interviewed for 7 hours, who said their Apollo 1 crew member, husband and father, was murdered by the CIA because he wouldn't participate in the fraud. That's their, but they told me, not my opinion. So that's pretty serious. And this is why the government endlessly keeps defending the moon landing fraud, because if the truth comes out, they're going to have to start investigating these homicides of their own people. So they use tax dollars to fake the moon landing and use tax dollars to hire CIA agents to kill our neighbors and friends for exposing their crimes. And these people and their apprentices are still in power. Otherwise, they would clean house and say, look what these jerks before us did. They faked the moon landing. We're not going to do stuff like that. We're going to clean house. No, they keep saying it's real when it's not. So when Orwell said, whoever controls the past controls the future, that's what he's talking about, which means until the moon landing fraud comes out, we will not have honest government.
Yes, and for those Christians out there, I love the spiritual thing, Bart, and
because my third eye's open, I see it all, but I just wish other people could see it too. But it's everyone's, you know, each to their own, isn't it? But even in the Bible, when they came to get Jesus or Yahshua, he said, the ruler of this earth is coming for me, but he is not in me. He's referring to Satan. So,
well, just, an interesting thing. Yeah, I was once asked on a midweek Wednesday night at church, where it's a little more interactive, you know, with the crowd, and the preacher's like, asked a question, who's Lord of the earth? And everyone's like, Jesus. And he said, wrong. Read your Bible. Luke 4 says when Jesus was being tempted by Satan, that Satan said to Jesus that he would give him the kingdoms of the earth if he would just bow down and worship Lucifer, because the kingdoms of the earth belong to Lucifer, and he gives them to whoever he chooses. So the Bible says that Satan is the father of lies and a murderer and a thief. So this is why the leaders of our countries of the world are liars, murderers, and thieves. They're stealing our money, claiming we're going to go to the moon with it, and filming it on Earth. That's stealing. They're lying, obviously, about it, and they're literally murdering people who cover it up. Part of the new information, Chris, is in my book, I go into great detail about this gentleman who was chief of security at Cannon Air Force Base in Clovis, New Mexico. I don't release his name in the book because his son was still alive who died. Now I can tell you his name. His name is Cyrus Eugene Akers. If you go to Sibrel.com, one of the four videos featured on the homepage is his son giving the testimony about his father, who told him when he was dying that he eyewitnessed the faking of the moon landing. Also new information, Chris, is what I'm about to tell you, which is that Cyrus Eugene Akers had more to say that I didn't put in the book. His primary confession wasn't that he, you know, assisted with the faking of the moon landing fraud. His primary confession was that he murdered a coworker to keep it a secret. There was a coworker who was going to go to a reporter to tell the world because he thought faking the moon landing was morally wrong. We don't know whether President Johnson told him to kill this person or he did it of his own initiative, but he confessed as he was dying that he murdered a coworker at Cannon Air Force Base, and that the reason why he did it was to cover up the moon landing fraud. You don't make that stuff up. All of this has been independently verified. He was chief of security at that base. His son lived right across from the main gate, and one of the people who was on the list of 15 eyewitnesses that President Johnson gave him, that we published in the book, and his own biography, said he was at Cannon Air Force Base in 1968 for a, quote, classified reason. So this is the facts, whether people accept it or not. It's not a theory that they faked the moon landing. It's an absolute fact. What does that mean? It means our world and our government is so deceptive, so murderous, so deceitful, and they're still in power. So just because every newspaper and TV station says there's some illness going around the world, it's just a bunch of numbers. Every newspaper and TV station said 1,000 feet below the, until the surface of the moon, and they're just a bunch of numbers. I called NBC. They said, we just repeat the numbers that the government tells us. You see, so fooling the whole world about an event was done in the past, and it can be done today.
Yeah, but can you tell us more about the son then, the son of the chief of security for the Air Force Base? Did you interview him personally? Did you go to meet the guy?
I interviewed him over the telephone and at length on many occasions. And shortly after I conducted those interviews, his house was broken into when he was out. Everything about his father being the chief of security at Cannon Air Force Base was confiscated that they could find. And a couple of days later, government agents showed up to his house and threatened to kill him and his family if he ever spoke to me again. This was less than 2 years ago. So the government is still concerned that the truth about the moon landing fraud will come out, because unlike 9/11, whoever did it, those people are dead. And unlike JFK, whoever did it, JFK is dead. But this is a positive lie. And it's about something that's burned into people's hearts. They prayed, they cried, they waved their flag. And to take that away, to take that candy away and to give him a turd instead, and then to explain that the government murdered the crew of Apollo 1, who was going to be the first crew to walk on the moon because they wouldn't cooperate. Not my opinion, opinion of the dead man's wife and son. This is why they're so concerned that the truth about the moon landing fraud came out.
This was so, Gus Grisham, his team, yeah?
Yeah, that's talked about in my book, Moon Man, at Sabrell.com, and a chapter called NASA's Greatest Fear, which is if the moon landing fraud comes out, they'll have to look into these homicides of Apollo astronauts.
And he, I mean, it's well known, he hung a lemon on a coat hanger across the door of the capsule to express, like, this ain't going nowhere. Right.
Right. He thought they were a decade or more away from going to the moon, not a couple of years. And he held an impromptu press conference days before he died, where he fixed a lemon atop the rocket and had the reporters come in and do a story about it, that the guy was going to be the first man to walk on the moon, thinks the equipment to get him there is a lemon. So this is why they decided to get rid of the guy. His widow, who I interviewed for 4 hours, said on January 26th, 1967, he came home from work and said, "Huh, hun, for some strange reason, the CIA is all over the launch pad today. Never seen them there before. I wonder why they're here today." Very next day, the guy's dead. So he was murdered by the CIA because he wouldn't cooperate with the moon landing fraud.
And we must point out, before his widow was informed of his death, the CIA had already raided his house and taken all the information of note.
He was preparing congressional reports, some of which he'd already given to a senator, about how, you know, NASA's nowhere near being ready to go to the moon by the end of the decade. And again, they can't even put a telescope into Earth orbit without being 10 years behind schedule. So how can they build all this equipment necessary for humans to travel 1,000 times farther than that and survive, you see, ahead of schedule? Elon Musk,
weird.
It took him 5 attempts to land a rocket vertically with about 100 million times more computing power than Apollo. I mean, think about that. To land a rocket vertically, it blew up the first 4 times Elon Musk tried with 100 million times better computers.
Yeah, but that's
so
still
how did they land a rocket vertically 6 times, but that's 50 still, years earlier, right?
That's still mainstream media. We don't know that Elon Musk has landed a rocket vertically.
Well, we do know that he blew up 4 trillion. Mm. Okay, they're not going to lie about that. So that means if they can't land a rocket vertically on the first, second, and third, fourth attempt with 100 million times more computing power than in 1969, then how did they land a rocket vertically the first time, second, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth time they tried with 100 millionth of computing power? You see, 50 years earlier, that doesn't make sense. Again, they're saying they have greater technology in the past than in the future, but that's impossible. So it means their claim was fraudulent, right?
Well, it just means that they're all in on it together, aren't they? Because Elon Musk, he's either a bit stupid, and it's probably not the right word. He's probably not as smart as he's made out to be if he believes in the moon landing narrative, or he's well aware that they never went to the moon, and he's capitalizing on that to lie to people to get their investment for his project to go to Mars, which is just, and I said to you last time, when he put his YouTube video up of those two boosters coming back down to land, somebody pointed out that the camera on, let's just say arbitrarily, the left booster was actually the camera on the right booster delayed by 3 seconds. And someone noticed this, and overnight YouTube changed the video. I say YouTube because, you know, you've got a channel, Bart, I've got a channel. You cannot re-upload a video and keep all your subscribe, all the view count. You can't do that. You can edit bits out of the video on YouTube using the studio, but you can't change the whole video, you know, change a part of the video. And that's what happens. So, but do you know what I hate about this, Bart, is it feels like we're trying, you know, it feels like trying to convince people of something that's just so blatantly obvious once you see it. the notion that they would put those boys into a void that they had no idea of the science of, when a few weeks earlier, Neil Armstrong couldn't even land the lander. He couldn't land the lander on Earth. He had to pull his pull the ejection seat. It's just incredible that people can't see the notion that, you know, you could go across thousands upon thousands of miles of an unknown entity, then enter another unknown entity, because you can guess at what the gravitation on the moon is, the atmosphere, but you don't know to the precise amount that you would need to know before you committed three people's lives, or certainly two people's lives. And in that heap of junk that they allegedly landed on there, it's just so crazy. It's crazy. Do you remember the plugs back then? I don't know. It's, you know, we had these big Baker-like plugs that you plugged in for your electric. They were so, just everything. But I just find it fascinating. I find it fascinating that people would rather believe in that narrative than just face the truth, which is an awful lot easier. And all the time people believe in fairy tales, that, you know, friends at home, you're blocking yourself from enlightenment. You're just blocking yourself because Satan rules the earth. He rules the earth, and you have to get above Satan to activate your pineal gland, reduce your serotonin and your DMT, and enter the land of milk and honey, as it is in biblical terms, because serotonin and DMT resemble milk and honey. It's called entering the paradise. But so long as you just willingly hold your hand up and say, no, I just want to believe in fairy tales, you know, that's my narrative and you can't check, it's okay. But then you can't be complaining that your life is a bit unhappy or it's not going like where you want it to go, because as Jesus said, Satan rules the earth. He rules like 99% of people. Would you say that, Bart? You know, but it's not. But that's not fair with the moon landing, because very fewer people believe it now. Though, even if you do a poll on Twitter and say, right, who still believes in this? It's only about like 33% of people, I think, still believe in it. Is that your experience, Bart?
Well, the more the people at the time are dying off, who were more emotionally printed, tearing up and waving their flag while they watched the television, they're not really objective to new information. Once those people are dying off and you can objectively look at it, because you didn't have that emotional printing from 1969, yeah, those people are discovering the truth. Unless, of course, they went to the university and were brainwashed into thinking that they were real, and saying anything else is literally blasphemous, because putting a man on the moon is the greatest accomplishment of, quote, science. So you could say it's the god of science. That's why these seemingly intelligent people refuse to see the fact that it was a forgery, because it's basically blaspheming their god. And that's what prevents them from seeing it. Now, the Bible itself talks about in the last days, 2 Thessalonians 2:9, that there will be counterfeit miracles. But putting a man on the moon is a modern day miracle, and it's a counterfeit miracle. And that's what it is. Mm-hmm. And this is the state of our world. The world has always been run by homicidal, genocidal maniacs. Find a time in history where that wasn't the case. There isn't one. So nothing is different today. Hitler, Mussolini, Stalin, Pak, they all killed about 50 million people less than 100 years ago. More people have died of genocide in the last 100 years than in all the centuries combined. So things are getting worse, not better. And the lying government would like you to think the opposite. We have the best healthcare in the world, while it's the number one cause of death as healthcare after heart disease and cancer. So we're being lied to virtually about everything. Whatever the main, you know, story is on the evening news, more than likely it's a lie. Pretty remarkable that the CIA got caught having 400 employees at every major TV newspaper station and radio station and TV station. And that was in the 70s. That document was found that said they had 400 journalists on the payroll at every major.
This is Operation Mockingbird, is it not?
Yeah, that was discovered by Woodward and Bernstein, among others. And it's all the more the case now with the deregulation that allows one corporation to own an endless number of media outlets, which they can do now and used to not be able to do. And even when they could only own one or two, they got away with it. I mean, everyone was told that Oswald killed Kennedy when it's simply not the case. Everyone was told pinhole airplanes can bring down a skyscraper, and 3,000 architects and engineers say that's a mechanical impossibility. So, I mean, the science is that airplanes did not bring down the building. The science is you cannot have greater technology in 1969 than today, you see. And the science is that the inventor of a particular medicine is banned from every news outlet. Now, you would think if the whole world is taking this brand new, never tried before on humanity medicine, that the inventor of the medicine would be a great person to have on your news program to talk about it. But every newspaper and TV station refuses to interview him because he is critical of the medicine they're calling, reasonable.
Yeah,
he thinks it's not. So that's a bit odd, don't you think? And that's the science. You can't get more science than that. The inventor.
I don't think it's odd, Bart. I know Satan rules it. I know that. And how does he do it? He does it through a fear-based narrative. So if you're an ego mate, you know, if you're ego driven, you live in your ego, you live in fear, you think life's all about accumulating money and being better than that. You're going to believe all this stuff, you know, you're going to believe all this stuff. It's not until you connect with spirit that you rise up, you genuinely, and you have to work at that. You know, I work on my diet every day. I work on my exercise. I work on my meditation. I learn from history, whether that's reading scripture to find out, like, what does this really mean? Not what they tell you in church, because Satan rules the earth. So he's ruling the churches. And I know people don't want to, you know, and there's a lot of people that they can't entertain that. That's probably going to people getting upset now. But listen, fascinating chatting. Come back again soon. We'll put the links for your website below. Don't worry. And we'll put a link for your book. So friends, I listened to Bart's audio book and it's riveting. It's riveting. I didn't listen to one thing in there that's like, just not, it's kind of like blatantly obvious when you see it, you know, but you've got to be free, you know, because otherwise the guy with the horns and the pointy tail owns your life. You've got to be able to go, do you know what? I'm actually going to entertain two opposing ideas in my brain, and I might not even believe in one of them, right? I might not even go.
It's ironic that mankind's greatest accomplishment proves to be a lie. That's pretty ironic, isn't it? And if you had cancer, would you want to know? Or would you rather pretend you didn't? I would want to know so that I could do something about it. So if the greatest accomplishment of mankind is a fraud perpetrated by the country that claims to be the savior of the world when they're really the opposite, I think that that's an important truth, that if it's not known, it's going to cause the ruin of the world. And so it is important to know that mankind's greatest accomplishment was a lie, who did it, and to expose it for the betterment of mankind. And I wish the moon landings are real, but we have to face facts. They were not. Yeah. And if you have an open mind, just go to Sobrel.com. You can get the book for a few bucks and audio that I read, Kindle the print, or you can see 16 video clips of the book for free right there at Sobrel.com.
Yes. On that note, the greatest trick the devil ever played was convincing the world he doesn't exist. But stay on the line so I can thank you properly. Sure. Friends at home, you know, let's keep an open mind on life. And if you can like and subscribe, would really appreciate it. And we'll see you soon. Much love.
Friends, thank you for listening to the Bought the T-Shirt podcast. Please like, subscribe and share. And don't forget to follow me on social media. Username, Chris Thrall. Instagram, Chris.Thrall. Thank you.